This morning, we have a privilege of hearing from the Lord through my friend. Amen.
Amen.
You know, somebody that you know so well, and you know they can call you out when you're doing dumb things and you're the pastor. So today, I just want us to prepare our hearts to receive from God through this woman of God that I live with, I happen to, and love it, and I'm so blessed. And I pray today that you just open your heart to prepare your spirit to receive from God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Underline this, to receive from God. This is that moment. Like I said, we want to be known as the church that the presence of God exists therein, and we want to believe that God is capable of using each and every one of us in a special way. And if you ate sandwiches every day, man, you may be bloated. Amen. So today we are going to go for some meat. Amen. God bless you so much as you come down. I want to pray a covering over her as the leader and husband. I just want to pray, Father, that as your daughter stands before you, that your Holy Spirit is going to use her. We prepare our hearts this morning to receive from your very table. Father God, speak. We are here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm excited to be here. My name is Anne. Pastor Dan, as he explained, he's my husband. I will share a little bit how we met with Pastor Dan, and then before I go into the word, and I'll explain why I am sharing this. So when I was growing up, when I was 10 years old, I prayed to God to be married to a pastor. Don't know why, but I did. And when I was maybe around 22 years old, I was dating. I had this guy that I believed we were in love and we were almost getting married. And when I turned 26 years old, I was working in this school that it was American System School. And we had these two guys that came to me and said, "Do you want to go to America and do special education because you seem to be really good with what you're doing. And I was like, "Okay." So, but in my heart I was like, "You guys know that there is this guy that I really love so much and I really want to get married to him. But it's okay, let's just go try." So when I was going there, I was like, "I'm okay if I get the visa or if I don't get the visa." And if you're here and you've ever applied for a visa, it is, maybe you've not, but it is really hard to get a visa to come here. You have to go through a lot. So when I went to the visa place and they looked at my papers and they just told me, "We believe you." And I was like, "Really? Can you guys ask me questions?" Or they did not ask me questions. They're just like, "We believe you." And just like that, I was going to America. So I was like, "Really? I have to go. I'm going to leave this guy that I believe I love so much." Okay. I cried all the tears and I came here. And I started going to a church in Laramie called Harvest Church. Dan was not here by then. I think he was still in Africa. He came to America in September and I came here in June. So we met at Harvest Church. And I just saw a guy at Harvest Church from Africa. I'm like, "Oh, there's a guy from Kenya. Hi." Anyways, in December, I came to find out the guy that I thought was my boyfriend was married in August. So I was here in June. I was here in June, and he got married in August. But I didn't know. We were talking almost every day. But I came to find out that he was married. And somehow Dan saw me. And then I started seeing him. And we got married. We dated for a really short time, just like maybe 3 or 4 months, and then we got married. And I am so grateful that it's him. So the other guy was never a pastor. And I don't know. So this was just to fulfill the prayers that we make. It does not matter how long it takes. God always answers our prayers. So here I am, married to this pastor here. Anyways, today I just want to talk about prayer. And first, let's just... Jesus prayed a lot. And we are supposed to emulate, follow his example of praying. I know you guys know prayer, and we've been taught a lot about prayer, but we need to be reminded again and again what prayer is. So my preaching today is about the Lord's Prayer. But before we go into the Lord's Prayer, let us just go briefly into what prayer is. Please may you go into the next slide. So prayer draws us to the heart of God. It takes us into his presence. Prayer transforms us. When we spend more time praising God, thanking him, worshiping him, interceding for others, our hearts become like his. When we spend time in his presence, we will smell like him. We will walk like him. We will talk like him. And that is what prayer is. So as we go through this scripture, I know you guys are readers of the word. Praise God. Amen. Do you know how Pastor Dan always say, don't miss that place to say amen? You missed a good point. I won't say that, but don't miss it. So God, throughout the Bible, as we read the relationships with God, how people talk to God, throughout the Bible, people are talking to God, and God is talking to people, and that is prayer. Amen? Next. Prayer is when human beings give God permission to interfere with their lives. Prayer is when you totally surrender and tell God, I can do this. Let me use an example. Can I use you, Pastor Dan? Sorry. Can you kneel down? Facing this way. And now can you run? Anyway, how far can he run? Not very far. But there is so much power when he surrenders and goes in on his knees. Anyway, stand up. Now can you run really fast? Yeah. He can really run really fast, but he will get tired. He cannot go so much far. But when you surrender and you give God your all, you go on your knees, there is so much he can do on your knees than if you decide to go ahead of him, thinking if you run really fast, you can accomplish much. There is no much you're going to accomplish. But if you go on your knees, which is what prayer is, and let him do what he can do, there is so much he's going to do than you trying. You can do much and solve much on your own. Praise God. Next. So prayer is reminding God of what he said he's going to do. There is so much promises, so many promises that God has given us in the Bible. And if you're praying the word of God. And the word of God is power. The word of God is powerful. So if you're praying the word of God, you're reminding God of what he said he will do. And everything that God said will do, he's going to bring it to accomplishment. There is nothing that he said he's going to do that will go void. He always performs what he said he will do. So prayer is just reminding God of what he said he will do. I'm a teacher, so I promise if I pick on you, I'm sorry. Just forgive me. Who knows of any promise that God promised in the Bible that he's going to do? And he will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a prayer there. God, you promise you never leave me nor forsake me. Praise Jesus. Any other promise? For I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. That is a prayer right there. So prayer is just reminding God, he said this and he's going to fulfill it. He's going to perform it. Praise God. Next. So prayer is the most important thing to do. But seriously, it always becomes like the least favorite thing to do or the last thing to do. Most of the time you want to seek solution from Karen or Seth or everyone else before you think of prayer. And this is when prayer becomes a burden. If you lose the joy of prayer, it's going to be a burden. You're not going to find any joy in prayer. But it is supposed to be the first thing to do because you're enjoying it. You're purposing to do it. You have a purpose to pray. So let it be the first thing to do. Let it be your first priority, not the last thing to do or the least thing to do. Praise God. So even as we go into the Lord's Prayer, Jesus Christ laid the pattern to us on how we should pray. And I know you guys have been making this prayer for a long time, but I'm just going to bring it to you as God laid on my heart in a different way. If you're finding it hard to pray, in the Lord's Prayer, I came to learn when I was growing up that there's different rooms that you can pray in the Lord's Prayer. I found out some 6 rooms that you can pray in the Lord's Prayer. Praise God. So then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil one. And if you have your NIV Bible, it doesn't show there, for thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. But if you have King James, yes. But it's on the footnote. So if you read down on your NIV Bible, there is a footnote that shows thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Anyways, even as I go into this room, I just need you guys to know that prayer is not a performance. When the joy of prayer goes away, that is when it becomes a performance. That is when it becomes a burden. That is when people, when we say, can we come on Monday and pray? Or when we say, can we pray for this and this? And you're like, prayer again? It is when it becomes a burden, like I said. And you just want to perform and get away with it. But honestly, prayer is about relationship. Relationship with God. When you pray, you are intimate with God. Your relationship is well with God. And that is when I said, you talk like God, you smell like God, and you want to do what God is asking you to do. That is when you're spending time in prayer. That is when you're finding joy in prayer. Praise God. So let us go into adoration room. And that is found in Matthew 6:9. And Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus is reminding us who God is. God is your Father. God loves you. God is your Father. You need to go to him as your Father. And there is a few scriptures in the Bible that reminds us who the Father is. In Romans 8:15, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. But you have to receive this spirit, the spirit of God. If you do not have it, then you will not notice who the Father is. Because Abba, I research, means the source. Everything. So Abba Father is your source, is your everything. You need to rely to him. You need to know that he is your Father. Because As you approach God as your father, he loves it when we come to him and call him daddy. But one thing I also noticed, he said, our father who art in heaven. He could have said, my father who art in heaven. And this reminds us that prayer was just never meant to be an individual thing. It was meant to be a corporate thing. If you're just going to God and it's just me, 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 that is not how prayer was meant. It is you standing in the gap for the nation. It is you standing in the gap for someone next to you. It is not about you. It is not about you. It's a corporate thing. It's not an individual thing. Praise God. Let's go. And then there is, hallowed be thy name. He recognizes the name of God because we know what power there is in that name. The name of God is powerful. We sang this morning, his name is beautiful. There is no other name like his name. So even as you go into prayer, he brings to attention that the first thing you need to realize that he is your father and you need to worship and adore him for who he is. Praise God. I think we can just run through the scriptures that show that God is Abba, because I think I went ahead of myself a little bit. Can we have someone just read loud from the congregation? Okay, next. You are his sons. So don't live in slavery. You are his sons. Receive the fatherhood he's providing in your life. Last Monday we were here and we were done with our prayer, and one of the ladies came to me and she talked to me and she's like, I think the Lord wants you to receive him as a father. He's seeing you as this little girl with your hands wide open, and he just wants to embrace you and love you as his father, which is something I promise I've grown struggling a lot. I never had a father figure in my life. My dad was there, but I came to know about my dad when I was 22 years old. I went and found him, and he looks exactly like me, praise God. And we have never had a relationship. We tried, but it has just never been there. And it's just something I've struggled so much receiving him as a father, and for her to come to me and talk to me, it's something I pray over and over and over, and she came and talked to me, and I just don't know. He loves me so much. He loves you so much. He's a good, good father. Praise God. And just go to the next slide. I know I've already talked about him. Okay. Okay, that one is Thy Kingdom Come. So that one, I will name it Kingdom Room. That is number 2. So it is good to declare the kingdom of God in your life. This country needs the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Remember, Holy Ghost. Because Holy Spirit is one person that we just don't recognize. You guys know that. We love to talk about God, we love to talk about Jesus, but we don't talk about the Holy Spirit a lot. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us to even help us know that we need the kingdom of God down here, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, then there is nothing. So, Jesus said, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We are not bringing earth in heaven, but we're bringing heaven on earth. So we're bringing the kingdom of God here on earth. The kingdom of God is about integrity, good morals, good values. And that is what we need to cultivate here on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. So our lifestyle might not be, is not supposed to be earthly lifestyle, but it's supposed to be kingdom, heaven lifestyle. What is heaven lifestyle? That is a question I'll just leave you guys to ponder. And even as you find answers, that is the kind of life we're supposed to emulate. Praise God. So even as I wrote there, when heaven comes to earth, the whole country will be transformed. Seriously, when heaven comes to America, this whole country will be transformed. Schools will be transformed. Our workplaces will be transformed in the name of Jesus. Because then we are not operating as the earthly people, we are operating as the kingdom people. Because we know who owns the kingdom. We know who is in heaven, and we know who he is. Praise God. So thy will be done. And I said we are here to fulfill God's will, not ours. We should stop making things about us, and focus on him. His will is pleasing, perfect, and good. And we should strive to do the will of God. And knowing his will is totally surrendering to him and saying, I surrender all to you. May your will be done and not mine. Because it's about him. It's all about you, Jesus, and not about me. So let his will be done in our lives. Let his will be done in this country. In the name of Jesus. And what is the will of God again, I ask you guys? It's perfect, pleasing, and good. But all the other will we've seen happening around us, happening around our lives, there is nothing perfect in it or placing God in it or good in it. So let's pray for his will to be done. Amen. And I just want to say the will of God is his word. Again, I just want to bring you to that attention that God's will is his word. And his word is powerful. Amen. Provision room. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you notice again, Jesus did not say, give me this day my daily bread. He said, give us this day our daily bread. There is enough for every day. There is enough for today. God has given you enough for today. One thing you should notice there, he never said, give us this yearly bread. Or he never said, give me this monthly bread. He said, give us this day our daily bread. God has given you so much today that you cannot just be sitting on it and saying, give me more. No. You have enough for today. If you give him enough, he's God of more than enough. So rise up and use what God has given you today. And it's just not about the daily bread as we're thinking in terms of just bread. But what you have in your hands right now, today, what you have today, don't think about what you have tomorrow, what you have next month or next year, but today, give us our daily bread. It is today. What you have, use it today. Be faithful with what you have today. For God to give you more, he needs to see what you're using today. What you have today, are you using it? We also just don't want to be greedy of wanting more when we cannot be faithful with what we have today. So give us our daily bread. The Bible says he takes care of the birds. He will take care of you. He is the source. He does not run out. He doesn't. So be faithful with what God has given you today. Let us stop worrying about tomorrow. Do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. And the Lord who does what? Who guards your heart? I think He will give you the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, will guard your heart. But that is when you're not anxious about anything, but you're trusting God and you're knowing that He is the source. And we do not need to worry about tomorrow. What do you have today? What are you doing with what God has placed in your hands today? Are we just complaining about what we don't have and how tomorrow is going to be and not being faithful with what He's given us today? What do you have today? Please, let's be faithful. Let's not be greedy. He just wants us to worry about today because He takes care of us. Has He ever failed you? Has He forsaken you? Then why do we need to worry about tomorrow? He will not leave you nor forsaken you or forsake you. The Bible says, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. You are not going to beg for bread because you put your trust in Him and you know the source. So if you know the source, trust Him. He's a God of more than enough. He is a God of more than enough. Praise God. Give Him all you have. One day we were doing Bible study and this song came up. And it was, you don't want to regret later and say, what if I gave you everything that I have? Give Him everything you have that He's given you today. So you're not praying that, Lord, tomorrow when you give me this car, I will go spread your word. No. Start with what you have today. Start with what you have today. He's a God of more than enough. He's your supplier. You need to know Him as God, who is the source. My husband, in last year in September, he lost his job. He had clients, but he lost all the clients. And so he had to go without a job for almost 2 months. But I promise you, we paid rent. We never lacked. But I'm just thinking, if we relied on these clients, I don't know where we will be. But if you rely on God, He gives you more than you even need in the name of Jesus. These people are just channels that God uses, but He is the source. He's going to use these channels, but we need to know that He is the source. And look at Him as the source, not as people. People will let you down, but He will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. Okay. So there is enough for every day. There is enough for today. Give us our daily bread. There is enough for today. Okay? Okay. Let's go into Freedom Room. And that is Matthew 6:12. Since I don't want anyone to sleep, Natalie, can you read that loud? Now that you're sleeping. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. So God came to set us free. God wants us to live in freedom, not in bondage. He forgave us. Who knows the song that says, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He paid it all. He wants us to live in freedom. He wants us to live in forgiveness. He does not want us to live in condemnation. In Jesus' name. One thing I know we are struggling so much with is forgiveness. Countries are at war with each other. We are sometimes in marriage, we even fight. At our workplaces, there's just a lot going on. But God wants us to live in freedom. We cannot live carrying other people. That's why he says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. He knows that we will have this trouble. And that is why he's reminding us that we need to forgive. Can you go to the next slide? I don't know if... Who wants to read that one? Yes. Forgiving others helps us to maintain an intimate relationship with God. Remember, for you, your prayers to be heard by God, I would say heard by God, you have to have a clear conscience. You have to have a clear heart. But Satan is clever. He knows that there is a way he can make us walk in bondage and not walk in freedom and salvation that God has given us. So he will make us take little notes of people who have wronged us, carry people on our backs, while God came to give us life and give it to us in abundance, John 10:10. So please let us live in total freedom that God came to give us. In the name of Jesus. I know there is bitterness everywhere. There is. And I'm not saying that it's unreal. It's real. But God is calling us into forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. There's a lot of people outside here hurting. Maybe sometimes we hurt them. And some of them cannot even go to church because we hear, I was in church and the church hurt me. Some of these people are just waiting to hear the word, I forgive you. I love you. Let us extend grace. He extended it to us. If we were to take so many years to pay what he did on the cross, we would never be able to. Let us extend grace. But I urge you, walk in freedom that God came to give you. Enjoy joy and power in salvation that comes with freedom. Praise God. So you know, he never forgot that we are fighting. That we are in this world, but we are not for the world. So that's why he prayed, lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil one. He knew we will face things that we have to fight. Pastor Dan always says, the moment you declare you're a Christian, you're declaring war with the world. Because everything that happens here is against what the word says. So let's go to the verses. So first, remember he said he's going to provide a way in the book of Corinthians. When you face temptation, he's going to provide a way. But God is not going to provide a way until you learn how to flee from the enemy. That is one thing that we need to learn, is to flee away from the enemy. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yes. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So you cannot just stay at the same place and you want God to take you out of there. You have to resist as a Christian. You have to. He will provide a way out, but you cannot just say, I'm faced with this and this, but you're not walking away from it. No, you have to. Amen. Just remember, we are constantly in a battle. We are. And that's why, can we go to the next verse, please? So you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Just as I said, we are in a constant battle. But you should never forget, even as you're going through the battle, we have overcome. And the one who is in you, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Even as you face them, remember that. We are fighting from victory. We are fighting from victory every day because he won it for us. Praise God. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Next. For the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. These are just words from the Bible. They are right here. We should know, right? So they are right here. Next. And then this one is whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is already lost in heaven. That is one thing you need to know. Even as you pray, it is already done in heaven, as we talked earlier before. On earth, as it is in heaven, because it's already done in heaven. Praise God. Okay. Next. And I want to remind you again, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God. And then we're going to go to the last one. Exaltation room. That is the one I was saying that it's not in NIV, but it's in King James Version. But if you have NIV, look at the footnotes. After Jesus going through all this, he started with adoring the Father, worshiping the Father for who he is, lifting his name up. And then what he ended up with is exalting him. So, just maintain, I preached before last year and I talked about worship. Just maintain a lifestyle of worship. He is a great example to show us what we need to do. Start with worshiping him. Finish with worshiping him. Because it's all about him. He is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the power. So we just need to adore him and lift his name on high. And we are going to do this today before we end. But before we do this, I just want to encourage you. Search your heart. Where are you with God? Are you just performing because you have to pray? Is it a performance? Are you experiencing joy in your prayer life? Are you struggling with forgiveness right now? Are you struggling with letting go? Are you struggling with just letting his will be done in your life? Are you the one that is saying, give me monthly bread or yearly bread and not looking at what God has placed in your hands today? So even as we go and just sing this song and worship his name for who he is, I just pray that you go before the Lord. We've talked about how to pray if you want to copy from that. But even as we do that, I just have a few principles I need to tell you about prayer. Prayer is personal. We can come here, pray with people, feel really good, feel charged, and have those feelings there, go through those emotions, and you can go back home and just be the same and wait for Sunday. But it needs to start with you. Start to be personal. Know that I'm gonna pray as Pastor Seth prays. No. God has given him different grace than yours. So, it is personal. It is not for everyone. Don't confuse this when I said prayer is never meant to be an individual thing. I hope you understand from that. But for you to be able to maintain a constant relationship with God and a joyful prayer life, it has to start with you. You have to long for it. And then it's a process. It just doesn't happen a day. So I just pray today. That's it. I'm good with God. No, it's something that is supposed to go over and over. It's a process. It happens every day. It's a process. And as I said, make it your priority, not your option. It should be your number one priority. And then prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. There is so many things we get from prayer, as I mentioned, to increase your relationship with God. With your neighbors, with country, as we pray for the kingdom of God to come down. It is just not praying. It is powerful. And then push. I know you guys have heard this. Pray until something happens. Push. Keep on pushing. His delay is not denial. He will do it in his time, not your time. So keep on pushing. Keep on pushing. He will perform it. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It took me over 20 years to get married to a pastor. I prayed for a long time. 20 years. Over 20 years. So his delay is not denial. I know you guys have heard that. Push. Guys, push. He will perform it. He will. He never lies. He never goes against his word. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. So pray until something happens. Praise God. Hey, Darian, can you come up? Let's stand up, please. Let us just worship his name and talk to him. Let's worship his beautiful name. Tell him what concerns you today. Pray for his kingdom to come today in our country. You are the word.